In the book of Matthew, chapter 16, Jesus asked two very important questions. He asked, "For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" Secondly, "Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" These are two great questions that the Lord asked. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to answer those two questions. It's good to see each one of you that are here today. We have visitors. Thank you for coming today. We hope that our time spent together will be beneficial and helpful to each. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we're really glad that you've come our way. We certainly hope that you will open your Bibles, you'll study with us from the Word of God. And if you have any questions or comments, we'd be glad to sit down and talk to you about those things. Good to see the members that are here. We appreciate your presence very, very much. Let's begin reading again in Matthew 16, and we want to look at verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it." And then verse 26, "For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What I'd like to do this morning is just examine these passages. And as we examine them, to think specifically about how we would answer those two questions. And in this particular context, we notice that he begins by saying, "If anyone wishes to come after me," if and wishes. That would simply suggest this freedom of choice that we have. You see, God doesn't make us obey Him. It's a choice. If you wish. But God invites any and all to come to Him. And what is significant about that, this morning, you will make a choice. We all make choices every day. But if you're not a Christian, you will make a choice to either become a Christian or you'll make the choice not to become a Christian. If you're a child of God and you haven't been living the way you ought to live, you'll make a choice. You'll either make corrections in your life and change your life, or you won't. And if you're a Christian and you're doing the best you can and you're keeping on keeping on, you too will make a choice. You'll make the choice of whether or not you're going to continue to serve the Lord or you're going to quit. So we all have choices. We also learn from this text, if anyone, the invitation is open to all, whoever you are. The Bible stresses the idea of those who have reached an age that they're able to understand through hearing the Word of God that you have sinned against God. And obviously, if you have reached an age of knowing right and wrong, an age of accountability is usually what we talk about, although the words, those exact words are not used in Scripture, the concept is. Because an individual needs to be able to hear and understand God's Word, to have comprehension of what sin is, and to have a cognizance of the fact that you yourself have violated God's law and you have sinned. And through God's Word, you learn that you need to repent, and God asks you to repent and wants you to turn to Him. So you have an understanding. You're old enough to understand, to make that change, and to confess Him as the Lord and as the Savior, and be baptized, to have every sin washed away, and then be determined that you're going to live the rest of your life to serve Him to the best of your ability. Now, anyone that can do that, God calls. And it's important for us to understand that He wants you to come after Him. And that would simply have to do with that you will follow Him as a guide. This great book, referred to as the Bible, the biggest part is the Old Testament. The smaller part is the New Testament. We live under the new law of Jesus Christ. And when we read and study that, we're following God's law. It's our guide. And we're following Jesus because He came here and He lived His life and He left us an example that we should follow Him. So He wants us to come after Him. And the way that is expressed for us is that we deny ourselves. It means to forget oneself. That is, your own interest. This world offers to us all sorts of opportunities and interests. You can occupy yourself in many things that are good in and of themselves. But whenever we give our lives to things of interest of our own selves, and there's no room for God, we've left no room for God, we don't serve God, then we're violating the very principle that we're looking at here. Jesus is saying, you've got to deny yourself. And that is, you've got to learn to be able to say no. There will be times that you will make choices. Choices to follow Jesus or to not follow Jesus. To follow His teachings or not follow His teachings. And that's almost on a daily basis. Whether it's what you say, what you do, or even what you think. There's a principle that God's Word teaches us, and we'll make choices every day as to what we'll do. So Jesus says, if you're stopping to consider the value of your soul, you have to understand you've got to deny yourself. We also learn that you've got to take up your cross. And taking up the cross simply has to do with to endure reproach or dishonor. We go back to Jesus when He died on the cross for our sins. That was a very reproachful, shameful way to die. It was for criminals. Jesus was not a criminal. But He died as a criminal. He died between two thieves. But when we look at this idea of taking up our cross, it suggests a duty that is performed at any cost. Jesus Christ, when He bore that cross, He did so by choice. He didn't have to do that. He did it because He wanted to. He carried that cross for me. And He carried that cross for you. So He made a choice to die for us on the cross. And so what He asks us to do is to also carry our cross. That is, carry His cross to suffer for Him. We also understand from this text, and He says, it's not that you just suffer for Him, but you actually follow Him. And following Him has to do with discipleship. So this text, in addressing the idea of what are you going to do about your soul, is here's a choice. If you care about your soul and your eternity, then you'll become His disciple. If you don't become His disciple, then what you're saying is you don't care about your soul. So I guess I could just kind of hit it off of the past by asking this question. Does it really matter to you where you spend eternity? As far as the Bible is concerned, there's only two choices. Heaven and hell. Those are the only two choices. So you make a choice every day in your life as to what you're going to do, who you're going to follow. You either follow Jesus on the way to heaven, or you follow the devil on the way to hell. So again, it's your choice. And the question is, what are you going to do about your soul? In the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 23, another account of this same teaching and event, Jesus, or Luke, added a word that Jesus used daily. Now that's an interesting statement. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Cross-bearing is every day. Being a Christian is about living it every day. Now, there's lots of Christians here today, and there's not a one of us that would say, we live perfectly every day. We don't. We make mistakes. We fall short. We could do better. We could do more. But the effort we put forth in carrying that cross, if I might illustrate by saying, when you carry that cross, it can become heavy. It can become burdensome. It can become difficult. And we might even fall. But you got to get back up. You got to keep working. Keep striving. Keep following the Lord. And when we do that, that cross bearing, Jesus then says, he that saves his life shall lose it. If he lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. Here's the result of the choices we make. So this text would be saying in a comparison way about physical life versus eternal life. Let's say you make the choice that the physical things of this life, these interests and choices, these things that you like and want to do, you choose them, but there's no room for God. So what you're doing, you're choosing, then according to this text, you're trying to choose the life here that is physical. He says you're going to lose your spiritual life. Now, God is not saying that you can't do anything in this life. But it suggests priority. It suggests to us what's most important. Might think of it this way. Are you a human being that works, goes to school, eats and drinks and sleeps, who's a Christian? Or are you a Christian that goes to work and goes to school and eats and drinks and sleeps? What's the difference in those two statements? One is the priority. If you're a Christian first, all of those other things are secondary. Not that it's not important to sleep or to eat, but that's not what your life's about. It's about being a Christian. So when we compare these ideas, those who are self-seeking are going to lose eternal life. You cannot be Christ's disciple and just every once in a blue moon think about God. God intends, if you're going to go to heaven, your first and primary thing that you're all about in this life is God. Now again, let me stress that Jesus is not teaching that you never go to work, you never go to school, you never do anything else that's fun, but your priority. What are you about? When people see you, when they hear you, when they watch you, what would they say about you? Would they conclude that you are definitely a Christian and you serve the Lord? And that's somebody that I can read about in the Bible, the kind of person that's going to heaven? That's the kind of life Jesus is talking about. He then says, For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? If he wants to just stop and think about the whole world versus our soul, what is the whole world worth? Since we've been in Anderson, we've looked around maybe to buy a piece of property somewhere and to build a little ranch kind of house and get Mary Lou chickens and goats and stuff, you know, on a few acres and do that. And you know what? Regardless of whether it's right over there or right up there or right down, wherever you go, land's expensive. Everybody wants to sell their land and make a fortune now. They're not making any more land. Do you notice that? They're not making any more. This is all there is. It's valuable. But think about all of the land. What if you owned all of Lauderdale County? You got the deed and you own every square inch of Lauderdale County. What would that be worth? What if you owned the whole state of Alabama? Would you be considered rich? What if you owned all of the United States? What would be that worth? But the Lord says, what if you owned the whole world versus your soul? The question, I think, is important for us to consider, because as human beings, we put a great deal of value on stuff, on things. I've got stuff that maybe is not worth anything to you, but it's worth a fortune to me. There are things that are really worth a fortune to a lot of people. And there are things that's not worth hardly anything. But one thing you do have is your soul. And when we stop to consider the idea of the soul, we need to understand this world is not going to satisfy. This world is only for a moment, only for a time. I'm already 63 years old. To some of you in here, I'm just a young pup. To some of you, I'm an old dog. But it doesn't seem like that long ago that I was young and good looking and thin like Damien. Damon. Well, I was never thin and good looking like Damon anyway, but it didn't seem like that long ago. Time flies. So I'm thinking more and more and more about dying. My wife and I have talked about burial plots. Where we want to be buried. We've got some in Kentucky. Our kids all live down here. We're thinking about that. 10, 15 years ago, we weren't thinking about that. The older you get, you think about that. Michael, you've been thinking about that? Yeah, you think about that, don't you? Because me and you getting old, aren't we? We are. And you can't take anything with you. Justin, you can't take your horses with you. Where's Daniel? Daniel's back there gardening. But Daniel's got this big, nice gym. Doc's got a big, nice gym. Can't take it with you. We're all going to leave it behind. And it's all going to be burned up in the end. It's all going to go up in smoke. So everything you have, physically, is going to be gone. Now, we live our lives for that stuff. We enjoy that stuff. But when we die, it's going to stay here. And when the Lord comes, it's all going to be burned up. Then what have you got? All you got is your soul. What is the soul? C.S. Lewis, a religious writer, he made the comment in asking the question, are you a body that has a soul, or are you a soul that has a body? We see the body is temporary. The soul is eternal. So the true answer to that is you are a soul that has a body. And a soul being eternal is the most valuable thing that you have. Because it will never die. Man can't destroy it. Man can kill my body, but he can't kill my soul. So your soul is the most important thing that you have. And it's important that we understand that we might be exchanging something that is temporal, physical, that's going to be burned up for our soul. You go back and you think about Esau. When he got so hungry and he was beside himself. Have you ever really just been, just really hungry? So much that you would give any amount of money, almost anything, just to have something to eat? Probably most of us have never been that hungry. But Esau got so hungry, he was foolish enough to trade with his brother for a bowl of soup, his birthright. That was a dumb trade. But what do we exchange in this world that is just as temporal for our soul? You may have heard the expression at some point, they sold their soul to the devil. There was a song, Charlie Daniels, about a fellow playing the fiddle. And he sold his soul to be the best fiddle player ever. Have you sold your soul? What did you get for it? This morning, Jesus asked these two great questions. And no one can answer those questions but you, for yourself. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when the Lord comes. But when He comes, every eye will see Him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. And we'll all be judged. And can't you just imagine when He comes with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that do not know God and that do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? There is no doubt in my mind that all of us will be fearful. There is no doubt in my mind that we will tremble before Him. And there's no doubt in my mind that we'll take a quick little survey of our hearts. And we will think this: I hope I'm ready. And when He starts naming names, and He comes to you, what will we say? If you've never thought about that day, you need to think about that day. The Lord's coming to save those that love Him and destroy those that do not love Him. So this morning, we're going to sing a song of encouragement. We're going to encourage you to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ even this day. It'll be your choice. Nobody will come down the aisle and grab you and drag you up here. No one's going to force you to do anything. But you will make a choice. You will make a choice. And that choice will be based upon how much you value your soul. So what are you giving in exchange for your soul? What will it profit you, though you gain the whole world? Spend an eternity in hell, forever and ever, over the choices that we have made? Surely, we'll spend an eternity knowing how foolish that was. If we can help you this morning in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?
Would you live for Jesus and be always true and good?